Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively into a beautiful weekend here. Finally got some summer-esque weather. I'm looking forward to that. I had a great day out of Greenmount Station. Drove up to God's Country up in Carroll County, up near where Luke lives. It's all brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. They were very popular at Greenmount Station in Hampstead. Had some great guests. We'll be back out next Friday at Fadley's in Lexington Market. I have put together 16 Maryland Crab Cakes tour stops this summer. We're going to be at Reader's Crab House up in Reisterstown. We're going to be at the Y in Randallstown at the pool in a couple of weeks. We're also going to be getting to the new Costas at the racetrack in Timonium. And I made a commitment to my pal Mike McKelvin out at 1623 Brewing. Out in Eldersburg. We'll be out there in early July. This guy has been in Owings Mills. He's been up late, out early with the Seattle Mariners and the Baltimore Orioles, and will be up late in Sacramento, California this weekend as the Kansas City Oakland A's of Las Vegas play in Sacramento. Luke joins us now. The Orioles have won six games in a row. Don't look now. This is a full-fledged comeback to 500. What do you say? Sleepless in Seattle, sweepful in Seattle this week.
Yeah, some good baseball. Certainly some encouraging signs. I mean, look, they're still 11 under 500. They still have a long way to go to continue to play the kind of baseball that they're going to need to play to get back to 500, to, dare I say, get themselves back in the wild card race. But this is good to see. This is encouraging. I think no matter what your expectations are the rest of the year and understanding the reality of where the math is when you bury yourself in mid-May the way that the Orioles did, this is encouraging. And I think specifically we've talked about the fact that they've pitched so well. Are they going to continue to pitch with their starting rotation to this degree? Who knows? But I think the biggest takeaway from Seattle was Adley Rutschman. I mean, Adley Rutschman with 2 3-hit games, a couple home runs, hits the big home run to tie the game on Thursday afternoon. I mean, we've seen Adley Rutschman have good games here and there. I mean, opening day in Rogers Center comes to mind, but it's been very fleeting. It's been, he looks good for a day. He looks good for a couple games here or there. And then it's right back to whatever it's been over the last 11 calendar months. But he's made a couple adjustments, and I mean, 2 3-hit games in a 3-game series, the long ball, a big time long ball on Thursday afternoon. I mean, we'll see, but
well, he's capable. Sign. He has all the skill set. He's 26-year-old, 1-1, unless he's hurt. And that's something we talked about all last summer. And
yeah, I'm not
at the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about health anymore. I mean, if it's health for all this time, then he shouldn't be playing. But yeah, he's 27 years old. He shouldn't be washed up. You know, I mean, we're not talking about a 33-year-old catcher who's caught too much. So it's encouraging to see. I know some people on social media, I know Andy Koska of the Banner talked about maybe him eliminating the toe tap. I mean, he's made adjustments. I know one thing that
it's been, you know, studied is what we're saying. You
right,
know, this,
right. I mean, yeah. I think everyone's been confused as to why the struggles have endured to this degree for this long. And I don't think anyone has really come up with a reason justifying that. But it's not been a lack of effort. It's not been a lack of troubleshooting behind the scenes. I mean, I don't think, as much as maybe we could say the Orioles have maybe been in denial or maybe have shown too much confidence in him, keeping him in the number two spot in the order, for example, behind the scenes, they've been doing work. It's not as though they've recognized and said, oh, nothing to see here, he's fine. I don't think that's the case at all. So you're hoping that some of these adjustments, maybe the fact that he was back in the Pacific Northwest, of course, he played at Oregon State. He's from that part of the country. Maybe that helped him as well, but you just want to see him keep that going because we've talked about it. I've talked about this a lot in terms of where the Orioles are in 2025 and where they're going this offseason, next year, beyond. It still comes back to their young core. And, I mean, Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, and, of course, Gunnar, they go back-to-back on Thursday afternoon to turn a two-run deficit into a one-run lead, and they win the game to get the sweep. But it begins with those two guys, but it really begins with Adley. I mean, this is the guy we were talking about months before the Orioles even drafted him. When the Orioles completely fell apart in 2018, there was already talk at that point that, hey, Adley Rutschman, the Oregon State catcher, that's the guy that's going to be the 1-1. I mean, yes, people talked a little bit about Bobby Witt, but it was Adley Rutschman because he had been the golden boy in college baseball for 2 years. So this was the guy that was the face of all that hope that Mike Elias was trying to sell at that point in time, because this team had completely cratered under the previous regime. So,
Well, we've just been hearing about him longer. He was the first great hope, right?
yeah, exactly. So
Like Ben McDonald was 35 years ago, right?
no doubt. And look, I mean, the decision of Rutschman over Bobby Witt, that ship sailed, right? I mean, I think we all understand that. Even if Adley Rutschman being the best version of himself, what Bobby Witt has become, that was. The Orioles lost that in that sense, but that doesn't mean that Adley Rutschman can't be a very valuable player and a very important player moving forward. So I'm not fixated so much on that decision anymore as much as just get this guy back on track, get this guy looking like he's a valuable commodity again, an all-star caliber catcher, because we saw it for 2 years.
If you could win a World
So,
Series with Adley Rutschman and Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson and Jordan
sure.
Westberg, then you didn't miss out on drafting a shortstop. You know,
Right,
like that's how
exactly.
I look at it.
And again, I mean, it's very easy to look at these things with hindsight. I mean, we all have 20/20 vision when you look back, but you can't have it be what it's become over the last year, which is Bobby Witt, MVP candidate in the American League, and Adley Rutschman, replacement level hitter, going back to July of last year. So, look, it's a few games. He's looked better at the plate the last couple of weeks overall, but he's got to sustain that. He's got to continue that. But we can only go off of what we're seeing right now. And it's the same thing with the Orioles collectively. They've won 9 of 11. They've won 6 in a row. It's been largely the starting pitching. It's not as though they've scored a ton of runs in these games. So that's where, to me, you look at it one of two ways. You can say that, this is part of the ebb and flow of the season, that even bad teams are going to play well for stretches. You can look at it and say, well, they've been a lot of one run wins. I don't know how real it is. Or you can say maybe they are trying, they have found some footing from a pitching standpoint. Maybe they're not going to continue to have a 2-starter ERA the way they have over the last better part of the last 2 weeks, but it can be better. And oh yeah, Colton Cowser's back now. Jordan Westberg could be back this weekend, if not this weekend, very soon thereafter. And looking at some of the other guys that are going to be coming back as well. So you say, all right, if they get the pitching to a certain level, which isn't going to be dominant by any means because they just don't have dominant arms, but better, more consistent than it was the first 2 months of the season, and their offense starts seeking its level of what we've all expected it to be or close to it, then you are talking about a team that's playing better baseball. And then, you get to the point where you say, all right, you're 11 under going into this series in Sacramento. I don't know if you've looked at what the A's have done over the last month. I mean, we've talked about the Orioles burying themselves. The A's were 22-20, and then they went proceeded to lose 20 of their next 21 games before they won on Thursday. They've been an utter disaster. They went from 22-20 to what they are now, which is just absolutely hopeless, 24-40. So at a minimum, you have to win 2 out of 3 this weekend. If you don't, then there's a nice winning streak, but I'm starting to wonder if it was just a nice winning streak and that's it. So you have a chance this weekend. You can get to within single digits of the 500 mark. And then you come home and you'll have a big test after that, of course, with the Tigers coming into town. But, you just have to take it. I've said this going back to probably April when we started talking about the Orioles being under 500. You can't make it all back in one night. You can't make it all back in one series, but you
You win
can
six
win.
in a row, it helps.
Oh, no question, no question. But how you do that isn't going into the mindset and saying, oh, let's win 12 in a row.
Well,
It's
you're also doing that trying to get guys back, right? So,
no
first
question.
things first, getting healthy players, getting Cowser back, and then Westberg back. Eflin came back a couple of weeks ago. These guys that were out that I don't know where Grayson Rodriguez or, any of the other saviors coming across the hill, but They were a well-constructed team before opening day, other than starting pitching. Like, just in a general sense, we were a little worried about their pitching. Who are the five guys going to be?
Yeah.
Who are the eight or nine guys going to be that's going to get them through the season? We learned that Kyle Gibson wasn't one of those guys, right? And you look at Povich. It feels like a guy like Povich is going to get a whole season worth of starts out of this. There's a guy there that should be the number seven or eight starter in the organization. He might wind up making 28 starts this year.
Yeah, and you're hoping that along the way he might look like someone that you is going to stick around. I mean, I've said to you going back to last September, I think there's the makings of a decent major league pitcher in there. Like, I'm not saying he's going to become an ace or anything like that, but he competes. I know the numbers aren't fantastic, but I mean, what he did the other night in Seattle, that was good enough, right? I mean, he got into the sixth inning. It wasn't dominant. You know, he's
Good
number
enough
five.
is getting into the sixth inning with three or four runs. If we
Right.
would have had that all year, the team would be two games under 500 and not 10,
Correct. And
12,
probably
whatever.
even better than that if they swung the bats in any shape or form the way we thought they were going to. But here we are, right? I mean, there's nothing you can do to change that, but you can play better from this point forward, and that's what's been encouraging the last couple of weeks. I mean, they're now a couple of games over 500 under Tony Mancelino, and I'll give him credit, right? I mean, as much as people have poked fun at some of his, you know, comments that he makes, or it feels like even if you watch some of the pre and post game pressers, it feels like he's a little more comfortable in that role. And that's not to say that I think he's going to be the permanent manager or should be or anything like that. Just he looks more comfortable now than he did 2.5 weeks
He's got
ago.
a better record than the last guy so far.
Sure. So, you know, they're playing better. It's not perfect. They still have a long, long, long way to go.
If they get back into the pennant race with Tony Mancelino, he can't get fired, right? I mean,
I mean,
seriously. I mean,
I don't know.
they get back into the pennant race, he's 15, 20 games over 500.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean,
like,
hey, that
I haven't talked about that out loud, but they are winning games with him. So while they are, I got to say something.
that would be a good problem and a good debate to have, right? I mean, you'd love to even have that discussion, right? I mean, 2 weeks ago we were thinking, is this team going to avoid 100 losses? And now fans are starting to get excited again. And look, it's a long way to go. I mean, you still look at it. I was just crunching the numbers before we started. You know, when you're talking about a team that's 25 and 36, even after winning 9 of the last 11, to finish 85 and 77, they've got to go 60 and 41 the rest of the way. That's a 96 win pace over a full season. To go 88 and 74, which then you're talking, that's a sweet spot for a wild card spot. You know, if you look at the last several years, they have to go 63 and 38. That's a 101 win pace the rest of the year. Even to go
Can
81
they
and
go
80.
63 and 38 to get to 88 wins?
I mean,
Wow. Stop the music, call a cab, as
not
Charlie Eckin would
easy.
say,
I
right?
mean,
Like,
that's daunting. I mean, that's what happens when you fall 18 under 500. I mean, you've created a mountain of work to, you know, to accomplish. Even to go 81 and 81, you're still talking about a 56 and 45 finish. So they've got a lot of work to do before we even start talking about the trade deadline dynamic or anything that happens. But as I've said for a while
well,
now,
getting a
see.
full team back by the All-Star break or by the trade deadline, that would include what? Westberg? That would include
Westberg,
Mullins?
Tyler O'Neill, Cedric Mullins, Ramon Laureano. I mean, by the All-Star break, I mean, Grayson Rodriguez has started playing catch. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that might be
They
the
think
earliest.
Bradish is going to pitch in late August, right?
But yeah, Bradish. I mean, Bradish, by all accounts, it sounds like he's doing well. Like, it doesn't sound like it feels like he's made really good progress with Tommy John. And you don't want to do anything foolish with him. However, if he is ready by August, regardless of where the team is, but if you genuinely feel like he's ready to pitch by August, man, you'd love to get him five starts, six starts before the season ends to then go into next year with him, you know, really not having many limitations in the same way that we thought of Batista the first month and a half, 2 months. And now we look at him where he's pitching back-to-back days, and they're kind of treating him like a regular reliever again, even if he's not doing the multi-inning stints that he would have a couple years ago, which he may never do that. And they might say, "Hey, we shouldn't do that with him because his elbow blew up then." So, but the point with that is you do have some reinforcements that could be coming later in the season that either bode well for next year, or if you do find yourself in that space that somehow you get back in the race. And again, I need to see this. And people are going to say, well, they're playing better. Yeah, they need to play better for a long time. I mean, that's the truth here. I mean, they could win 11 more in a row and have a 17 game winning streak, and we're still talking about a team that is just at 500 then. So, I mean, God bless. I mean, it's been fun to watch them play better. You definitely get a different vibe to them. I mean, look at Thursday's game. Cal Raleigh hits the home run. You decided to pitch to him. You're thinking, oh, man, that's a deflator. I mean, they could have walked him. I mean, the rest of that Seattle lineup struggling. And then they come right back. I mean, how many times going back to last year, the second half of last year, have we seen this team just kind of deflate as the game goes on? And if they're trailing, they just kind of, I don't want to say lay down, but just they look defeated. I mean, we talked about that over and over and over. And yet now the vibe feels a little more like what we saw a couple years ago, where they'd have comeback wins and they'd win close games and they'd score late in games and they'd do just enough to figure out how to win. They've got that vibe going for them right now. They do, if nothing else, forget about the math, forget about playoffs or anything like that. They definitely have a different mojo to them the last week to 10 days. It's felt different. They've had a different vibe. It feels like they're having fun again. Obviously, winning produces that. I it's the whole, does winning breed chemistry or vice versa? I think it's yes to both at times, but you've got to win. You're not going to have fun if you're losing to the degree that they were losing for the first 8 weeks of the season. So, you've got a great opportunity this weekend. Like I said, the A's have been an absolute disaster. I mean, they had lost 20 of 21 before they won on Thursday.
By the
So,
way, this when I put the television on, and I'm going to be watching Triumph sing the pregame songs for before Game Two of the Stanley Cup Finals in Edmonton. But I put a game on in Sacramento, and I've seen this Tampa Bay thing.
it's spring training.
But beyond that, we're 21 years out on the Expos playing in San Juan, and. We've had other circumstances, whether the Blue Jays played in Buffalo during the plague and different things that baseball could do. It really, whenever I talk to Maury Brown or I'm talking to Barry Bloom, I'm talking to baseball, I talked to Tim Kurkjian last week, just people in the baseball space, this just smacks to me of inconceivable poor leadership. Like just the fact that all those years I went out to that dump in Oakland, they could never figure it out. I remember going out there like 6, 7 years ago to see, or 5 years ago, to see Pearl Jam at the arena that's in the parking lot, and just walking around the outside of the baseball stadium at that point, rats and broken things, and just I can't begin to tell you what a disgrace the Oakland A's were the last 10 years. And I'm thinking the only thing more disgraceful is moving them 2.5 hours to the east to be rented by the people of Sacramento to have this Las Vegas thing. This has been going on 20 years, Luke. Like, and the Expos thing felt like at that time, whether it was contraction and Bud Selig and we're going to contract Montreal and Minnesota and this and that, and getting Jesse Ventura was on my show, your buddy, at that time at the turn of the century, trying to keep the Twins in Minnesota. This is, we watched the games for 3 days. I just don't want to lose sight of when you think the people in baseball might know what they're doing, they don't. Because if they had any foresight, any clue, any strategy, they would not allow this to take place. They just wouldn't.
I mean, I try to have a little bit of understanding with the Rays situation from the standpoint of a hurricane blew the roof off the trap. But at the same time, to your point, the A's, I mean, that's been talked about since I was, I mean, barely out of college, and I'm 41 years old now. I mean, you mentioned the Expos.
The
For the
fact that
time.
the A's couldn't play dates at the San Francisco Stadium that's 4 miles away, that they could not figure out as Major League Baseball to play in a major league stadium in a market.
Well, think about that. Part of that, I how much of that was just the hostility of the Bay Area toward the team at that point in time? I mean,
Sure.
we saw how ugly it was with
Play him
Oakland.
anywhere there, nobody's going to come.
Yeah,
Right.
well,
Yeah.
not just that, but people are going to protest. I mean, we saw that outside the Coliseum the last couple
Well,
of
good
years.
for
So,
them. As a guy who
sure,
led Free
no,
the Birds one time, good for them.
I'm not disparaging that. I just think that was kind of the reality of where they were. I mean, they were persona non grata, where it's like, no, we don't want you here. Get out. I mean, so that's a but it's funny because you mentioned the Expos. I mean, we all remember 1994. I mean, I remember even though I was, not quite 11 years old, but how great the Expos were that summer, and what they were, and what the possibilities were before the strike. And then you think about it, 11 years later, they were in DC and they were the Nationals. So you think about, and that felt like
But
a
those
long
were a
time.
long 11 years, dude.
No, it was, I agree. But even that was resolved in a decade's time, where, and really, I mean, it wasn't 94, 95. I mean, but post strike, I mean, that was the death knell for Montreal baseball. I mean, I think we all understand that. But even that was resolved much more swiftly than what we're seeing with the A's. I mean, the A's don't have a city name attached to they're officially the Athletics. I mean, that's embarrassing, right? I mean, this, I mean, they're
It
not
just
even
shows
called
that
that.
Rob Manfred should not be the
Well,
commissioner of the
yeah,
game.
I
I
mean, it's
mean, it's
just,
he's a
but it's
disgrace.
just one of these. I mean, it's one of these deals where, again, the Rays with Tampa, and a hurricane, and obviously there are complications there with thinking they maybe had a stadium deal, but not really. And obviously their future is as murky as ever. But at least there was some Mother Nature,
Well, the reason these futures are murky is no one wants these teams. If Nashville wanted a team, they'd have one. If Austin, Texas wanted a team, they'd have one. I had Maury Brown on from Portland. They're never getting one, right? Like, Buffalo's never getting a team. Louisville's never getting a team. I'm going through these Birmingham, these places that have kicked tires in the WFL and the USFL, and thoughts. I've been to these places. Phoenix couldn't support a hockey team, so now Salt Lake City has one. I just it's ill-conceived, and the thought that they're going to be the third team that goes into Vegas and play 100 games a year, 80 games a year baseball in the heat, and people are going to come to the games, and people are going to go to Vegas and want to go to a baseball game. I don't know, dude. I
I mean,
mean,
I think it's a
I think the
model
whole
that
thing's ill-conceived.
I think it's a model that can work well for a certain amount of time, because everyone would say, hey, the Orioles are going to be in Vegas. Let's go to Vegas for a 4-day weekend or something like that. That sounds great the first time you do it. Maybe the second time you do it, in the matter of a few years. But after a while, you're not going there anymore, right? I mean, it's the same idea for anyone who loves visiting other ballparks. You're only going to go to
All the Red
Fenway.
Sox and Yankees fans don't come to Camden Yards anymore. It's not
Right.
cool,
I mean, you're
man.
only going to do that for so long unless they end up becoming a really good team. And then there's a little bit of a different factor there. But yeah, it's a shelf life idea. It's something that has some appeal in the short term, but you're not going to do that year after year after year. I mean, you're going to go see other ballparks
I'll
if you're a
say this
traveling
about
fan.
baseball, and I've learned how different, how old, and how white, and how horrible the people that run it have been over my lifetime. And the arrogance that comes with every Greg Bader that I've ever met, every Katie Griggs I've ever met, in regard to what they think they are and what they've become, what the sport has become. And I even run into that with you, who is like into it, always into it, wherever, that there is some sort of denial about how empty all of these stadia are. Like, I saw Seattle the last couple, their first place, there's nobody there. It's like Ken Griffey never played there. It's like they never won a World Series because they didn't. And then I see you trying to start something in a place like Las Vegas, where I've been going for 30 years. I know how transit is. I've seen it grow. I've got friends that live there. I got media friends that live there, the whole deal. The thought that baseball is local, you'll agree with that, right?
It's
Baseball
very, yeah.
is the most local of local
That's
of local things.
why national TV numbers don't do much for me, because I've said it all the time. Look at the time requirement it takes to be a fan of a single team. So no, I'm not going to watch a whole lot of other baseball when I'm not watching my own team, because I don't have enough hours in the day. Go ahead.
Well, when I was 12, I collected baseball cards, and I could tell you all that, right? Now, as a grown person, where there's a million things going on in my life and a baseball team that clearly doesn't care about me, you, the community. I mean, these people are, they're like the Cowardly Lion. There's no heart. There's no heart in what the Baltimore Orioles have done or become under Angelos or this. That's why the stadium's empty. That's why when I go out in the community, people tell me about how they don't go to games and they don't give them money. And when they want to give them money, it feels like it costs too much, or it feels like too much of a pain in the ass, or let me check the weather, let me check the standings. Like it's a decision to go to a baseball game. It's a financial decision. And it would be in Las Vegas too. And the only reason I'm bringing this up about Las Vegas is I know how hard the Orioles should be working to get every Baltimorean into the Orioles, because that's all they've got. They got Roy Firestone, my buddy Hells down in Arkansas, Joel Poyley down in, they got a handful of scattered Oriole fans that live other places, but their primary focus should be 35 miles from the ballpark and in, and get everyone there to love the team, because they have to. That's who's going to come to the, that's who's going to fundamentally support the team. And it's such a local issue. Trying to go into Las Vegas with a baseball team nobody cares about and do it with an old name and an elephant and go in there and build a stadia and say the tourists are going to go see the lousy A's play the Twins on a Tuesday night when no one likes baseball that much in a general sense. You have to be old and white to like baseball. That's just kind of like I go stay. I hit the clicker and the turner, and I go around. It's old. It's very white. And I don't think they're going to go into a market where the Raiders have sucked a lot of money out, where the Stars have sucked out that thing in Vegas that has become the local. They were the first local team. They sort of came in first, gave out swag first, went to the Stanley Cup Finals first, won the Cup first. Like, doing all of that stuff. And now you're going to bring a baseball team in third at this point in the game. It's a disaster. I mean, it's going to look like Expos games. There's going to be 3,800 people at every game, and people have other things to do in Vegas. Vegas is stupid expensive to think if you're an Oriole fan, I'm going to spend a weekend in Vegas or in San Diego. You're going to go to San Diego because it's going to be a third of the price. So I have all sorts of reasons why this is terrible, but watching this weekend, I just wanted to talk about it. By the way, I invited Charlie Finley's daughter on. She wrote a book on the A's. I have the other book written on Charlie Finley that Jason Turbo wrote. I have some A's fascination and the affinity of Billy Ball and Reggie Jackson and like all of that. But what this is tonight is disgraceful. And watching this, and by the way, I did a long interview this week. You'll hear it. A guy named Tom Cousins. Doesn't mean anything, but he was a longtime sports editor of the Sacramento Bee. He was one of my bosses at the News American in 1984 in Sports First. So I've known him 41 years. He went to Sacramento in 1986, and he's been there his whole life. And he's a lifelong Oriole fan. He grew up here. He grew up Motion City, but spent his time in Baltimore. He's a real Baltimore. Got a Baltimore accent. And I had him on for an hour, and he said the minute that the team was coming to Sacramento, he like bought the tickets for the weekend, paid $85 a ticket for the whole weekend to sit in right field. Now tickets are $20, of course. It's like the concert ripoff. But they all went guns blaring into Sacramento thinking people were going to show up in these minor league ballparks and that people were going to embrace Major League Baseball. And they think the same thing in Vegas. And I just think this is a product of their incompetence and their arrogance. And it's just it's a disgrace. After San Juan and what they did with the Expos, the fact that they're still playing that game 22 years, 23 years later, it just tells me how bereft of leadership they are and ideas.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and defend Major League Baseball's leadership because I certainly don't think too much of it. But what I'm looking at attend Vegas Knights in the NHL, they were 13th in attendance last year. I mean,
It's expensive to go to hockey games.
it is, but it's now it's helped that they've been good. I mean, they've kind of bucked the trend of, what you expect an expansion team to be.
But
So.
trying to sell 2 million baseball tickets in Las Vegas in a summer, or thinking that you're going to do that, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, but they're having a, there's going to be a retractable roof though, right? I mean, that's,
Oh, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm just talking about
sure.
what people want to do. I'm
I
talking about
don't,
local Las Vegas people
but when
falling
you,
into going to 30 baseball games a year and thinking that
but how's that
there
different,
are
but how's that different from hockey
45,000
though?
people that want to be there.
But how's that different from hockey though? You know what I mean? Like if it supports hockey, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't support. Let me be clear. This isn't me saying they're going to lead the league in attendance, but
I'm just trying to figure out if it's a good idea or a bad idea or a money
I
idea.
mean, I
And
remember.
playing these games in Sacramento, if they're going to play minor league games somewhere, just go move it, play them in Vegas.
Yeah, well.
I mean, get the team there. I mean, I remember watching the Oilers play the Houston Oilers of Tennessee of Nashville playing in Memphis and nobody there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you don't want them playing outdoors in a minor league stadium in Vegas. I guess. I mean, if there was a compromise to play at the Raiders Stadium, some ill-conceived
Ha!
ballpark dimensions,
Something even more ill-conceived than playing minor league ball in Sacramento.
thinking of how like the Dodgers played at the Coliseum before Dodger Stadium was built, when they moved from Brooklyn to LA,
I've seen those
but
pictures of Louis Aparicio there in '59 at the World Series.
the best is
The left
the
field fence looks like it's about
where
212 feet.
it's they had a net. You had to hit the ball over the net, or it was a ground rule double, I think it was, or it might have been in play. I'm trying to think. It was wild. Like
It was
it's
like
one
the
of those.
rules in Rob Dubious' backyard that we had.
Yeah,
We had
I mean,
wiffle ball
it was
rules.
literally like it was very. They had very odd ground rules with that. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's that. I think so much with baseball is going to hinge on this next CBA and their next TV deal. It feels like
105 today in Vegas.
you're already having people talking about, that there's going to be a work stoppage, a couple years out, as
Oh, I've
far
already
as,
heard that. Maury Brown
yeah.
said end of next year, it's shut down.
I mean, it really feels like this could be the time when a salary cap actually does come. If now that's going to, they'll lose games in order for that to happen. I'm not saying it'll necessarily be a full season, like
I'm trying to think
94
in the
into
modern era
95,
who's going
but
to fight against the salary cap and a floor.
I think, but I think that's the key for the players, and maybe, how much of this has been deliberate by MLB owners. I mean, certainly you could be cynical and say, yeah, but there is the sense of, you already kind of have, it's not a hard cap, but it's acted, when the Yankees have even reined in their spending, the Dodgers are and the Mets are the exceptions, but some of these other teams have reined it in a little bit because of the luxury tax thresholds. You do wonder if the Players Association and there's all kinds of stuff now with Tony Clark. I mean, there's a lot of unrest with the union, but you do wonder if they see the writing on the wall and they say, "Look, us fighting a cap is kind of a losing battle at this point. Let's get a floor. Let's make the Bob Nuttings of the league spend money, actually, some money at least, rather than what the Pirates have done for 30 years now. Let's improve things on that end of the spectrum, and
But that is no different than the fire sale of the San Diego Padres in
sure."
1993 when the All-Star game came here and Fred McGriff and Tony Gwynn are running around answering questions about the great sell-off and then the great Montreal sell-off. And there have been implosive sell-offs, Florida Marlins, my God, after winning two World Series, right? Like all of this has happened in the 35 years since I've been on the radio documenting it every single day. And bro, no offense, man. I was here every minute of every day before the strike in 93 talking about it, during the strike in 94 talking about it, the day after the strike in 95, and talking about it with Mike Messina and Jim Poole and Mark Williamson. I've had Don Fehr on the show back then, and Marvin Miller has done my show a dozen times, all during the course of my life. So I have studied it as much as anyone. I was. It didn't make any sense to me as a young man when I was 25 on the radio. It didn't make sense to me that the players would be so dug in to be against that system. And now those players, and I'm talking about Pete Rose and Mike Schmidt and Brooks Robinson, the guys that fought the original fights back in 81 and the 87 in those years that created that FU. We will never have cost certainty for you people. We're Wild Wild West. You guys are all liars. You all colluded. Flanagan was involved in the collusion thing in 86 and 87, right? And costing him money. And the old owners, the George Steinbrenner, the Charlie Finleys, when teams were owned by baseball oligarchs back in the day, pocketing money, things weren't out in the up and up. Nobody knew where the money was going or where the money's pretty well documented now in all of these sports. I mean, Kurt Badenhausen from Sportico finds the money and lets people know the Packers' money's all out in the open. The Atlanta Braves are a publicly held company. So the money is sitting there, and you see the wide disparity of all of it. You really would think that they would look at football, they would look at hockey, they'd look at basketball, and now a lifetime of study that was done for how the NFL has become the dominant league, how the NBA has become, and it's awful. The NBA is just, it's an awful sport. It's just, it's an unwatchable game. You're
You think
watching
that?
7 foot.
You think that?
I just don't think it's interesting.
Well,
I don't
but that's
find basketball interesting, right, anymore.
the public would suggest
Well,
otherwise. I mean,
fair enough.
the NBA's doing better than Major League Baseball.
But the reason the NBA is doing well, other than Ted Leonsis, is that they have the ability, the Oklahoma, whatever the hell they are, have the ability to have the best team. The Pittsburgh Pirates do not have the ability to have the best team.
Pittsburgh Pirates don't try, man. Like don't give the don't give the owners a complete pass, because that's
I'm not
BS.
giving them any path.
But they haven't tried. He's pocketed Bob Nutting and owners of that ilk have pocketed so much money over the last three
Well, the
decades.
LA
You know
Clippers
this,
guy
man.
did that for
Don't
40
carry
years.
water for them. That's pathetic. Like
I'm not carrying water for them. I'm saying
they don't even
the players
try.
carried the water for them by not making those SOBs, including Mike Brown in Cincinnati and Al Davis when he wasn't spending to the cap because he didn't have any money in Oakland.
So I
They
like
didn't make any of them. There's no qualification for Nutting or for John A. You know, when we're rebuilding, we're rebuilding, we're retooling. No, dude, you're pocketing money is what you're doing. That's what you're doing, and the players should understand that enough to say, like we'll meet you halfway. I'm telling you, the
yeah.
rockheads of the baseball union. Because they had destroyed the owners for 20 years and
Yeah.
they really controlled the game. You know what I mean? Like they
Right.
stopped the game, they pissed everybody off, and they still didn't get what they should have gotten, which is what they got is great players get 700 million and the Pirates don't play the game and the Rays can't play the game and these other teams
They
don't play the game at
don't
all.
play the game. They can play it, they don't.
But there's not revenue across the board the way there ought
But
to
they can
be because there's
absolutely
not
spend more
competitive
than they.
balance across the
Yeah.
board.
Well,
We're arguing chicken and egg. We really are. But
right,
why
but
this
because I would,
team
but
is
part of
playing
me
in
would all,
Sacramento for 3 days,
sure.
it does stem back to the fact that if there were a salary cap in baseball and they would have figured that out in the 90s, and they didn't, and it's a long time going and it's further down the road, and they're so far down the road that the stadiums are all empty, and the NBA, which is to me an awful sport, is thriving because they have competitive balance, except in Washington and other, but they have competitive balance to the point, and a great player can sign on a bad team and still get commensurate salary. That is
Yeah.
not possible in 18 places in baseball. Two-thirds of the sport will not sign a $30 million player, will
Yeah.
not sign a $200 million deal, and therefore the sport is bereft of competitive balance. It might as well be European soccer, and you might as well have first, second, third division because the baseball
Yeah.
players fought against that. And I don't fundamentally, it never made sense to me in 1996 that if you're pissed about the Padres selling off and you're pissed about the Florida Marlins selling off at the time, then do something to work on the integrity of owners who have none. That's what I
Fair
would have
enough.
said.
Fair
And
enough. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And because I pushed back a couple minutes ago, for me it's more so. It's not that they can't. They won't. They don't. They don't have to. They can pocket money. They all have been capable of spending more money than they have in many cases. I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, we
the
know what.
Angelos family and
But I would.
via Masson and the Orioles took tens of millions of dollars every
Sure.
year and put it in their pocket. Tens of millions every year for 30 years they
What I.
put in their pocket. And that's their right as an owner, but the product was shit and everybody knew it. And in the end, they pocketed 1.8 billion off of a $44 million investment in 30 years. And they still could manage to pay Chris Davis and whatever the Bobby Bonilla Day tax is and whatever other expenses that they may have had somewhere along the line. The Angelos family, despite what they paid Adam Jones, despite what they paid Nick Markakis, despite whatever money they gave Palmeiro and Ripken along life's highway, the little $5 or $10 million at the end of the table, they just bilked everything and everybody on the way to the bank with billions of dollars. And all of that came off of your money, my money, cable TV money. And players didn't get it. And competitive balance
Yeah.
didn't matter. And on the last place, we're gonna draft. Look over there. Look over there while our payroll's 48 million. Look over there. Because we can't, the stadium's empty. We can't earn any money. And they were pocketing. And I knew that all along. I wrote about that all along. So why that you had a press pass and I didn't? Because I knew what they were doing the whole time, and I talked about it. And now in retrospect, I can look at it and you say, "Don't carry the water for the owners." The owners are
Well,
playing baseball in Sacramento tonight. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're still making these decisions because people are accepting of it. And my buddy Tom in Sacramento has waited his whole life for the Baltimore Orioles to show up in Sacramento, so he paid $100 a ticket to sit in the outfield because that's how desperate he was to want baseball in Sacramento. The problem is there aren't 30,000 people in Sacramento feeling that way.
yeah, I will say this because I don't want to make this completely pro management because salary caps are pro management. I mean that, but because players would also point out and say, well, then why doesn't Lamar Jackson have a $700 million contract in the NFL when the NFL is far more lucrative, far more profitable, far more rich than Major League Baseball, where Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto have $700 million contracts. So
But they can
there.
only negotiate those $700 million contracts with five teams. The other 25
Understood,
teams can't play. That's
understood,
not the way it is in the rest of
understood. But
in modern sport. In modern sport,
we
as Adam
also
said.
know the upper class drives the bus, and there's your argument against the salary cap because then the best players, I mean, in the NFL.
But if you're looking after the sport, you know you have Bob Nuttings and you know you have John Angelos's
Well,
and
the problem is no one truly looks after the sport collectively, right? I mean, everyone's
I
looking
sat
out
with the
for
horse
the.
racing people all day yesterday. Yes,
I
you
mean,
know.
that's, I mean, the NFL and the NFL is going to find that out at some point in time, right? At some point in time, even though Mark Cuban was nowhere close on the whole, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, thing that he made, that comment he made, what, 2011? I think that was during the offseason lockout that year. And obviously, we're going on 15 years after that, and it's still showing no signs of slowing down. But at some point in time, it'll be too much. And
It'll be too much in baseball when your mother doesn't buy the package. You know, when the streaming, when the revenue really starts to
well,
dry up,
they've got to figure that out.
because the
I mean,
money's not falling off the side of the boat like it did for John Angelos. The
sure.
Angelos family had to figure out how to sell cable
I mean,
packages. They never could have
TV
done
and
it.
TV
They couldn't figure out how to get their games on cable television on a station they owned.
television in general is having to figure that out right now. I mean, it's just the truth. Cable and satellite is going the way of the dodo. It's going to
But
be
that's
gone.
sports' problem, though.
It's television. I mean, all these streaming services are hemorrhaging money at this point in time because they're not finding enough people that want to subscribe to them
Because
consistently.
they're making bets they can't cash.
Sure.
And
I mean,
that's what
it's
the
all.
Sinclair people over. Every time you drive by Sinclair up here on Warren Road, they put all that money out on those FS Fox Sports Net and all of that, the RSNs, and we're gonna have baseball all summer for everybody that nobody's gonna watch and nobody's gonna want to sponsor. And people aren't gonna want to pay $29 a month for to have the Orioles or to have the Indians or to have the Reds. There's going to be a price point. I don't know what that price point is. They think it's $19.99 a month now. They think it's a season-long
I
package.
mean,
I don't know. When next March, when the rubber meets the road and it's opening day, how many people are going to put the $129, $159, $189 on their credit card? And how many people are going to do what I do on Apple Friday night and say, "Yeah, I'll just watch the game on monitor the game on my phone. I don't
well,
need to
I
give that
mean,
money."
look, at some point, people have to pay something. You're not just
No
you're not
doubt.
going back to 1975 or not even then, because then they didn't show the home games. But
What is
you know,
going to be
you're.
user supported like the NHL's been?
I mean, you're not just showing games on free TV. Now, I think there's a balance where it would probably behoove teams to show a couple games on TV a month, broadcast TV, and you view that as a commercial, right? It no different than HBO having a free weekend on DirecTV twice a year, you know, in the way that they, or cable, you know, twice a year, the way they used to do it. But at some, I will say this, I have, you know, I think I told you, I now have Masson separately. I'm saving a ton of money. $19.99. Look, the app stinks, but in terms of like, I can't pause and rewind. I have to view it like an over-the-air channel. But I will say this, the feed, the stream has been excellent. Like I haven't had issues where it freezes, things like
Greg
that.
Bader's involved. It's
No,
bound
but
to
I'm
be
just,
half-assed.
but my point, it needs to get better. I'm saving a ton of money, a ton of money from where I was paying. I forget what I was paying for DirecTV when before I found, but it was closer to $200 than $100. Let's put it that way. So it's been life changing in terms of saving me money, you know, to be able to stream, you
Go
know,
watch
but like,
last place baseball. That wasn't the plan,
well, but
but yes.
I'm just talking about the financial part of it. So look, I don't expect to get it for free. No one should expect to get it for free. It is a business at the end of the day. Yeah, what is the price point? You know, I think $20 a month, I think that's reasonable. But at the same time, we're in a different world than when everyone in the market was paying $2 or $3 a month to have it on their cable package or their satellite package. So, you know, you kind of do the math there. It's like you kind of need one out of every seven people who previously had Masson to then subscribe. You know, that's kind of a rough way of looking at it, but yeah, they've got to figure it out. That's why baseball in general has to figure this out. I mean, you know, it's funny because I've cited Apple with MLS, you know, Major League Soccer, you know, the model that they basically all of their TVs kind of carried through that, you know, as far as their, you know, like my brother-in-law watches the Philadelphia Union. You know, he subscribes through Apple TV and can watch every single game. Although I've heard recently MLS isn't happy with that model. So I don't know.
Well, they're
I'm
probably not
just,
making a lot of money.
and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of this is going to
They were
boil.
happy to get the distribution that Apple offered them to grow their base and said, we'll kick the can on that and later down the line,
Yeah.
we'll make money on it. We'll
Well,
charge people more money once we get them under the tent. Baseball has done that. They've had a lifetime of you and your mother and your sister and
yeah.
me and under the tent of this cable television thing for all of our lifetime.
And
And now they're
hockey and
going to hand us
basketball.
a direct bill, and that's going to be directly about how much I care about them as to whether I'm going to give them money or not.
Right. And that's where I think you're going to see, and
And
like I
that's going
said,
to be true in Las Vegas too, when they're trying to sell baseball in Las Vegas locally to A's fans to buy it. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? How many people in Sacramento would subscribe to A's games right now?
Well, I mean,
You know?
see, for me, I mean, that doesn't move me because, you know, you're a tourist.
You're
Right.
right. They're
I
staying a
mean,
minute,
it's the
right?
Savannah Bananas coming in for a couple games at Camden Yards. It's fun to go, you know, it's fun to go. Like it's a novelty, but you're not going to invest in it. You know, I wouldn't invest in a team that said, oh, we're coming to Baltimore, but only for a year or two. Right. I mean, you're not going to invest in that. I mean, so, but I think again, this is all TV, you know, right now I was just seeing, I think it was Disney Plus. I can't remember if it was their CEO or someone kind of talking about streaming's, it's not profitable in the way that they have these budgets for these shows and even movies that they've tried to stream and like change the model of how people view, and they're finding they're not making enough money. So like they're probably going to go away from doing as much of that and go back to the idea of big theatrical productions that you go to the theater, right? I mean, it's just they're all trying to figure it out. Sports is a major part of what's propping up so much of it, the NFL specifically, but the other sports because it's content. And that's where that is the one saving grace that baseball and the NBA and the NHL look at is there is still a demand for it that doesn't necessarily exist for other genres of TV in the same way that it did, but they're all trying to figure it out. They're all trying to figure out what the price point is. They're all trying to figure out what's going to be profitable and sustainable. The NFL at some point in time, it might be another 20 years, they will get to a point where they'll reach a threshold and they'll say, oh, okay, we need to kind of settle into this. For now, they can continue to push and do Christmas games and games every day of the week or whatever they are ultimately going to try. But it's a new world because you don't have that the big safety net and the comfortable pillow of everyone subscribing to your network because that's just how it is. And we're going to see a lot of cable networks in general go away in the next 5 to 10 years because that's just how it is. How many networks that have always been on cable that you've never really watched, but they've existed because of the ESPNs of the world, basically. And now they're all fracturing and going off on their own, and a lot of it's going to die out. So I don't have any doubt that Major League Baseball is going to survive, that the NBA and the NHL will survive, but are they going to have the same profit margins that they had 10 years ago, 20 years ago? No, I think you're going to see a different world. And that goes back to your point then about salary cap, salary floor, trying to have as much price certainty and stabilization as you can. But, figuring that out exactly, I'm not smart enough to know exactly what the best answer is going to be. But there's certainly going to be a fight over it. And that's coming in a couple years for Major League Baseball, that's for sure.
Did you wear green today to support Carney Lansford or Joe Rudy? I just accidental.
I didn't even
Well,
think of that.
we haven't talked as much about the winning streak of the Orioles. We did that a little while ago in the segment. Baseball all weekend from Sacramento, California, in minor league ballpark, and we were just discussing how and why. I'm glad we had that conversation because, like, it should be had over the backdrop of the A's playing minor in a minor league stadium and the Orioles visiting, playing in a minor league stadium, all of that. Luke will be watching baseball all weekend. We're going to talk some football before it's all over with. Had some great conversations this week, including with some friends at Greenmount Station in Hampstead. I had the scratch-offs, the Back to the Future Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. Our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Liberty Pure Solution, putting us out on the road. We'll be at Fadley's next Friday at Lexington Market in the afternoon. Orioles keeping us up very late from California this weekend. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking baseball in Baltimore Positive.